Well, thanks, John. Welcome back. Thank you to Christine too. Thank you to Howard for speaking about your word. I trust that's been helpful, enlightening for many of us. Please do keep your Bibles open at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to be looking at a little bit of that passage as well as other passages together this morning. Now, it's not unusual to hear somebody in middle age or perhaps later in life say, I wish I'd spent more time with the family. Sadly, it's sometimes something you often hear from people who are separated from their spouses or from their children, and they're expressing their regret at their failure to spend more time with them. But I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone say, I wish I'd spent more time at work. Well, these lockdown circumstances are forcing us to spend, of course, less time actually in the physical workplace and more time with our families than perhaps we've ever spent before. Maybe that's a good thing. Because for various reasons, some of us are prone to working longer hours and more hours than perhaps we should. In the last few years, whilst I was working at the Bank of England, the issue of work-life balance was increasingly talked about. The senior management recognised that to motivate staff and to retain staff in a competitive environment, you have to offer conditions that allow people a social life. So flexible working initiatives sprang up, and they included things like condensed hours, working from home, holiday carryover, paternity leave more recently. And some of those things, I think, have made a difference. But they haven't always addressed the underlying, the cultural issues. And of course, these current circumstances in life for some of us, it's become perhaps busier than ever. Take key workers, for example. And of course, I wouldn't want to forget our own church tech team. No doubt they are busier than ever. But for many, we've suddenly found ourselves with perhaps little or almost nothing to do. The vulnerable are having to isolate. GCSEs and A-levels this summer have been abandoned. Some of you have been furloughed. And sadly, of course, I'm well aware that some have been made redundant. And it seems, of course, that these things are likely to go on for some time yet. Well, perhaps this is an opportunity for us to reflect and consider our priorities in our lives. If we are Christians, what is our faith? What does the Bible have to say about work-life balance? For anyone who's previously been resisting God, maybe these are the circumstances in which he's especially speaking into your life and trying to get you to listen. Well, we've just started our Sunday morning series on the subject of working for Jesus. And a couple of weeks ago, John showed us that work is a vital part of God's purposes for humanity. We're here to serve one another. We're not here just to serve ourselves. Work is a positive thing. But that's not always how we experience it. For many of us, work is often hard. It's so often painful. And of course, quite often it's just boring. Or maybe it's a means of proving ourselves, of maybe beating somebody else up the career ladder, gaining as much wealth as we can. Perhaps we see it as a way of making the rest of our lives outside of work more comfortable. Well, the Bible says that's not how God intended work to be. Work is often imperfect and it's selfish, but that's because humanity is imperfect and selfish. And God intended work to be a pleasure. He intended it to be purposeful. He intended it to be satisfying. And of course, sometimes we get glimpses of that. Work can be some of those things. Howard spoke about one or two of those things. But often the positives can be fleeting. They can be short-lived. And so often work can feel like a battle. As we saw last week, there are tough decisions to make. Do we get involved in office gossip? Do we speak up against illegal or immoral practices? How do we exercise godly wisdom in the workplace? Well, in thinking about these things, I found this particular book really instructive. I hope you can see it there. It's called Ministry in the Workplace. Thank God It's Monday. It's by Mark Green, a respected author who now serves in the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. Now, I know that John found this really helpful too, and we would commend it to you. Well, the Lord Jesus, of course, had a fair bit to say about work too. And he came to earth in order to work. He said this: "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." His work, of course, finished on the cross at Calvary. Well, this morning our topic is work-life balance, but I don't think that's a term that Jesus himself would have used. Because, of course, the real issue, the underlying issue here is about time. What are we here for? How should we use the time that we've been given? Well, the Bible has lots to say about time. And, of course, I don't have enough of it this morning to cover everything in the Bible. So I've picked out three things which I hope are representative of what the Bible says. And, of course, you can tell me afterwards if you think that's the case or otherwise. Well, the first thing is, and I'll be fairly brief on this, the time is a generous gift. Time is a gift that God has generously given us. Well, I speak for myself when I say that we spend too much of our lives, of course, wishing that we had more time, when, of course, we should be spending a bit more of it enjoying the time that we do have. Because, of course, that is something that we all do have. If you look at various other things in our lives, we're blessed with different amounts of different things, such as money, friends, health, strength. But let's say the last week or so, at least, we've all had exactly the same amount of time as the next person. But of course, let's remember that none of us knows how much of it we have left. That's partly why I read Psalm 90 this morning. Verse 10 says, "Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures." And verse 12, "Teach us therefore to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Time is a good thing. We have a finite amount of it, and we should appreciate it. And of course, with time comes variety. And we've seen some of that in Ecclesiastes, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. And of course, it shows that God knows all about social distancing, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Of course, that's now. I'd love to give you all a big hug this morning, but sadly, this is not the time. If there was time for one thing, just one thing, life would be pretty dull, really. But it says correctly, of course, in the Bible, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. And that reminds us of the beauty of creation. The same thing can be different at different times in different seasons. Take trees, for example. Of course, they look different in the spring to how they look in the autumn and in the winter. Similarly for flowers, which come at different times, but still have beauty at other times. The sky is different every night. As Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands," the work of his hands. There's 24 hours of time in every day, 7 days in every week. What are we meant to be doing with our time? Because it can't just be about survival, because we know that it will run out one day. I mean, what did Jesus say about this? He said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Mark chapter 8. To really make the most of our lives, to really save our lives, we must lose them. So what are we actually here for? Well, more famous words, hopefully appear on your screen from Jesus. Mark chapter 12. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." and this, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's the secret to a perfect work-life balance. Love God, love others, and you will save your life. Which, of course, does mean that we have each of us responsibilities. And that brings me to the second point I want to make about time. Yes, it is it's an amazing gift, but it is also a kind of management responsibility. Time is something, it's a resource that we're all called to use responsibly. Now, of course, you can't love God. The Bible is very clear about this. You cannot love God without loving his son. And of course, we'll never have a perfect, a true work-life balance without submitting to the authority of Jesus. So that is the first, that is the most important thing that we have responsibility for. But after that, how we use our time will vary according to our own personal circumstances. There are really no rules, but the Bible does give us some very helpful and some very important principles. And I just want to share a few of those very briefly with you. The first is that we should work. John covered this 2 weeks ago. Whether it's your schoolwork, whether it's helping at home, whether it's caring for family, volunteering in the community, it could be paid employment, serving in the church, whatever it is, your capacity to work will depend on your individual circumstances. But the Bible is very clear that laziness is condemned. Laziness is a bad thing. But at the same time, we need to rest. We need to work and we need to rest. Right from the beginning, of course, we're told that God finished his work of creation and then he rested. And of course, if God needed to rest, we certainly do. So the Ten Commandments include the instruction to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Excuse me. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Now, under the gospel, we understand that every day is to be kept holy. Our whole lives are for Jesus, but we still need our rest. We need the right number of of hours in each day according to our needs. One day a week when we can just put aside everything else, an occasional longer break, a holiday. We need to work, we need to rest. Exercise is also important. Of course, the government, even at the moment, recognizes that. But the point is, don't take it too far. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Not that, of course, that physical exercise is ungodly in any way, unless, of course, you put it above God in your priorities. And that's true of anything that we can do or say that we put above God. It becomes an idol. And, of course, we must spend time listening and talking to God. The first psalm says that those who delight is in the law of the Lord are blessed. Those who meditate on God's word are like a tree planted by the water, which bears abundant fruit. And the more you listen, of course, the more you'll want to respond in prayer. Well, life is all about relationships. As we spend time with God, so we'll want to spend time with our families, with our church family. And of course, God has designed us to be interdependent. And that is why many of us, including myself, are finding these current restrictions so hard. We depend, we need one another. Well, as we depend on others, so we must care for those who depend upon us. Parents should nurture and train their children. Husbands, love your wives, the Bible says. And we're all called to support family members in need, elderly parents, for example. And of course, we're to respect those in authority over us, children to parents, workers to bosses, and all of us to the government. Well, there's just a few principles, but let me stress again, there are very few rules that apply universally to every one of us. Perhaps a apart from the one about obeying the government. But even then, I don't know where you're tuning in from this morning. The rules set by your government may be different to mine. Well, we each need to apply these principles into our own circumstances. How much time we spend at work, how much time we spend at home, how much time we spend exercising, how much time we set aside to read the Bible and to pray. They will all depend on our individual circumstances. And it's not easy. When I was at the bank, I was, on average, I guess, out of the house for about 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. It didn't leave a lot of time for family, for church, for anything else. And of course, I'm well aware that for some, it can be a lot worse than that. I had a reasonable amount of flexibility at work. The holiday allowance wasn't too bad. I could leave early some days if I needed to. But of course, I recognize that the flexibility works both ways. Sometimes you have to work late. Sometimes you have to do work when it's not ideal or when it's not really convenient. I won't forget, for example, missing the whole of the London Olympics opening ceremony because of a crisis at work. We each need to manage our own situations. But actually, very few jobs require such a commitment that we have to sacrifice family time. And I guess if you are in that kind of situation, then you have to begin to think, well, is this where God wants you to be? As they say, that where there's a will, there is often at least, there is a way. If family is important to you, and if you do have family commitments and responsibilities, most jobs do find a way of accommodating that. Of course, you need to be open with your boss. You need to try and see things, of course, from their side as well as from yours. And you must pray. And all the time, remember that work is not just a kind of necessary evil. Work has purpose. You bring honor to God through doing your job diligently. Again, Howard touched on some of these things earlier, by doing it honestly, by using your gifts to the benefit of your employer, showing care and love to your colleagues, telling them about Jesus as opportunities arise. So it's not just a necessary evil, but neither should work become your idol. Jez might well touch on some of these things as he talks about ambition next week. Because if you're working long hours just to make a name for yourself or just to further your career, well, you need to think about your motives. I'm aware, of course, that I'm only skimming the surface of this topic this morning. I trust as we preach through the Bible week by week at church, there is guidance in pretty much every passage that we can apply to our working lives as much to any other aspect of our lives. But let me point to one of these things before we move on to our final point this morning. Don't waste your time. That is certainly a principle that's in the Bible. And there's some great advice here from Ephesians chapter 5, which I think will come up on your screens. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. In another translation of the Bible, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the Lord's will is. Of course, we all make mistakes. We all struggle at times not to waste the good things that God gives us. And that applies to time as well. We struggle at times. We've all, I'm sure, wasted far too much time in our lives. Perhaps we get too easily distracted. Well, let's remember that self-discipline is a fruit of the Spirit. We can easily say, but I'm just not very good at self-discipline. Well, self-discipline is a fruit of the Spirit, and that means that we can all have it. God gives it actually to us, every one of us, as believers. He gives it to us freely. The question is, are we actually using it? And of course, he's very patient, and God is very forgiving. His mercies, we read, are new, and we experience, of course, are new every morning. Each time you fail, each time we fail, say sorry and ask for his help to carry on. Well, time is a generous gift. It is also a management responsibility, but thankfully, it is not all down to us. And my third point here, finally, is that time is an ordered plan. I hope that will make sense as I go through my point here. And by that, I mean that all of our times are within God's sovereign, within God's loving control. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." That's from Matthew chapter 10. Nothing happens, Jesus says, without God's permission. So when the Prime Minister warned us a few weeks ago that many families will lose their loved ones before their time, I mean, I think we all understood what he meant by that. But the Bible says that none of us will go before our time. Here's a verse from a hymn that we used to sing. Occasionally, we still sing it. It's absolutely true. "Plagues and deaths around me fly. Till he bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit." It's absolutely true. Psalm 31, verse 15 says this: "All of my times are in your hand." All of my times, all of our times are in God's hands. Our birth, our death, and everything in between. Of course, we are still responsible for how we use our time, but somehow, in the midst of all that, God is still in control. And that, of course, was true of the Lord Jesus. He so often said, you can read it in the Gospels, that his hour had not yet come. And some might say that his death, of course, came far too soon. He was too young. He was in his prime. But for those of us who are trusting in Jesus's precious blood, his death came at exactly the right time. God's sovereignty applies to every aspect of our lives, including our work. And that means that whatever your situation, whatever your job, if you are in work, it's not happened by accident. You are there for a purpose. Christian lives are intended to be lived, of course, not just in church, not just on Sundays. A lot of our time is spent at home. Perhaps for some of us, many of us, even more time is spent at work. And all of that time is for a purpose. We are, the Bible says, God's representatives, God's ambassadors, who are kind of positioned in certain places at specific times. So as John quoted from Colossians 2 weeks ago, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Well, Howard talked, as I said, a bit more about his experience a bit earlier on. In the Christian group that we had at work, I found it especially helpful to think and to pray together about God's purpose for us there. And I realized, or came to realize more, about how important our roles were. Because there is a sense sometimes that Christians assume that kind of ministers, or particularly overseas missionaries, are God's key workers. They're the really important ones. Well, no, that's not the case. The Bible is very clear that every one of us is a key part of God's mission. And those in our workplaces, those in our schools, they're the ones that are very much on the front line. I mean, where else do you get the chance to talk to so many unbelievers? Where else do you get the chance to mingle with non-Christians? Where else do so many people see how you live? Well, my role, of course, has changed a bit in recent years. Now, I'm pretty much back office. I'm here to try and support and equip those of you who are out there doing God's work. So please don't underestimate this. Think of Esther, in the Bible. God placed her in a very challenging role. She was the wife of an unpredictable dictator. And through her godly courage, in that particular situation, many people were saved. As her uncle, Mordecai, said to her, "Who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Esther's work was God's mission. Or think of Joseph. He was hated by his brothers. He was a slave in Egypt, but he was raised by God to a position of authority. What did he say to his family a few years later? He said this: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Genesis chapter 50. These are just a couple of examples of ordinary people doing their jobs, trusting God. Joseph, of course, spent quite a while in prison, falsely convicted. And of course, that wasn't accidental either. Some of you remember that as we were looking through Philippians earlier in this year, that Paul was writing that letter from prison, as he wrote so many of his letters. And he said, even in that context, to live was Christ, to die was gain. So if you think that you're in a dead-end job, or if you've got no job, or maybe if you're struggling at school, or if the kids you're looking after at home are a complete nightmare, if you can't bear the self-isolation, remember, all your times are in God's hands. Jesus is with you in all of those circumstances. He has a purpose for you. Maybe he's preparing you for something in the future. Your attitude, even in the hardship, can bring glory to God. Perhaps particularly in the hardship, does your attitude bring glory to God? So can I encourage each of us in these coming days to maybe sit down and think about the situation that God has placed you in right now? Jesus had an awful job to do, but he did it faithfully. Take the opportunity to ponder his dying love for you and consider, how can I serve him where I am? What opportunities do I have to speak for him? How can I use my work to glorify him? How can I love him and love others? And if you've got extra time at the moment, well, use that wisely as well. Maybe read some Christian books like this one that we've mentioned a little bit earlier. Read the Bible a bit more. Pray. Get in touch with others. Start a new hobby. I don't know what's relevant to your particular situation, but time is a precious gift. It is to be enjoyed, but it's also to be managed. And it's also in God's hands, thirdly. Well, as we close, I'd like us to pop back to the passage that Christine read for us a little bit earlier from Ecclesiastes. I'm just going to read a few verses from verse 9. Do read that with me if you have it in front of you. "What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good where they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. And I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him." Your life with Jesus is to be enjoyed, be happy, do good with whatever you have, whatever your situation. This is the gift of God. But remember, this is not all there is. Yes, he has made, as we've just read, everything beautiful in its time. But he also, as it says, has set eternity in the human heart. He has set eternity in the human heart, which means, of course, that we're all on a journey towards something else, towards eternity. If you're walking with Jesus, if you're working for Jesus, yours is a glorious eternity. Yours is a glorious eternity with Jesus. And of course, therefore, on the other hand, it makes sense that if you're trying to do life without Jesus, if you're trying to do life without Jesus, the only future that you can reasonably expect is an eternity without Jesus. And that will be more awful than you can possibly imagine. So if that is you, please, please, please stop. In God's goodness, I started working for Jesus about 20 years ago. It's not always been easy. I've let him down. I will confess time and time again. But there is nothing better than working for Jesus. I can't commend it to you highly enough. And of course, the best is still to come. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that our lives have purpose from the day that we were born to the day that we die. Even when we don't understand what that purpose is, of course, which is quite often. So we pray that you'd help us to live our lives as your servants, loving Jesus, loving one another, taking responsibility for the time that you have given us, however long or however short that might be. So as we prayed earlier, may the favor of our Lord, of the Lord our God, rest upon us. Establish the works of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands for your glory. Amen.